Praise God. So last week, we started, actually 2 weeks ago, Pastor Andy did the video, and we started the series called Jesus Empowers. Jesus Empowers. And we're looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. And last week, we asked some very important questions about him. Who is he? What does he do? Where does he come from? And what's his purpose? Do you remember? Good questions, hey? So we looked at the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Godhead, that he is God, that he is God. And just like the Father and the Son, he has no beginning and no end. I love that scripture from Hebrews 7. It speaks about the eternal Spirit of God. We looked at his presence in creation. We looked at his presence throughout the Old Testament. We saw him in the Gospels. We see him in the Epistles. And we finished off by considering how the Father sent the Holy Spirit to dwell not in temples made of stone, but in these hearts of flesh, that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, comes by his Holy Spirit, comes to indwell us. And I think the highlight, one of the highlights of last week has to be that the Holy Spirit has never been recalled. He is still present day ministering to his church today, to this very day. He lives in the lives of those who are saved and are getting saved. That's where his presence is. So today, we're going to continue to look at why he came to live in us. And what can our experience be of his indwelling presence? And I've got 35 minutes. So, okay, get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. It's not very easy to get this done in such a short time. But our foundation scripture for today is 2 Corinthians. That's great graphic, isn't it? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is our foundation scripture for today. We're speaking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." What a beautiful scripture. We could actually, thank you, Stephen, you could meditate on that all day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the way the Apostle Paul ends his last letter to the Corinthian church. And I love the fact that you can see the Trinity in that greeting. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we're going to look at that word fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word for fellowship, I'm sure you know it. Anybody know what the Greek word for fellowship is? Koinonia. That's it. You had it. You were just too scared to say it. Koinonia. Koinonia. And that word means communion, sharing life. It means a joint participation. That's what that word fellowship means, a joint participation. And that word koinonia, it appears in the New Testament 20 times. And the first time that we actually read about it is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the life of the early church, just after the day of Pentecost. We're going to read it. It says in Acts 2:42 in the NIV, the nice, interesting version, it says, they devoted themselves. These are the disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles. I've lost my place. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So we see that word. That's the first time we see that word koinonia in the New Testament. They devoted, these disciples devoted themselves. There was no one standing saying, prayer meeting, get to church. They just devoted themselves. This is what they did. And listen to what the Passion Translation says. It says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles, their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. I love that. That's fellowship. From the Passion Translation, I love the way they put it. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. That's what fellowship is about. It's about when our hearts are mutually linked to the Holy Spirit. And I think if we have an understanding of our hearts being mutually linked to one another in a natural context, I think we'll have a better understanding of our shared life, this mutual linking of ourselves with the Holy Spirit. So a shared life with one another means we're engaged in each other's lives. It doesn't mean we're living in each other's pockets, okay? All right, I don't want to know what you had for breakfast. Bless you. God bless you. I'm happy for you, whatever you had. You can tell me. It's of no relevance to my life. But we're not going to live in each other's pockets, okay? But we are engaged in each other's lives. We're having a degree of accountability to one another. Isn't it so important? We share a meal together. 13th of October, we're going to all share jollof rice here. We're going to judge. Who's going to be the jollof judge? There's a good terminology, the jollof judge. But we are going to share a meal together. We pray together. We speak to one another. We cultivate relationships with one another. We communicate with one another. This is what it looks like to have our lives mutually linked with one another. It's not forced, and it's not one-sided. Have you ever been sort of in a relationship where it's one-sided, where you do all the, you know, you make all the effort, and the people don't reciprocate? This is not what it's about. We willingly reciprocate to be mutually linked to one another. And the important thing is that the Holy Spirit wants to share his life with us. And his desire is that we share our lives with him. There's got to be a mutual reciprocation, if there is such a word. But the Holy Spirit's desire is to be engaged in our lives, in every area of our lives. There's no sort of, this is a no-go zone. No, allow the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. His desire is to commune with you, is to speak to you, to fellowship, to be mutually linked with you, to help you. You just think about that. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He wants to comfort you. His desire is to lead you. That's the Holy Spirit's desire, to indwell you, to anoint you, to empower you. These are amazing aspects of what the Holy Spirit's desire is for us. But we need to be conscious of him on a daily basis. He's not going to just interrupt your life. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come in and say, hello, you know, and tap, tap on your shoulder. We need to be conscious of him, to be aware of him, to be mutually linked to him and with him, to fellowship with him. When you're going to the shop, he comes with you. He's in you. Speak to him. Lord, I do this. Lord, help me in the shop. Give me people to speak to. Help me to become aware of your presence. I'm pushing a trolley around. Something so natural. When you go into your office, Holy Spirit's with you. When you go, no matter where you go, if you go to the gym, the Holy Spirit is with you. and he wants you to be conscious of him. He's not going to force his way in. So we've recently, during the summer, we looked at John 15, a fantastic analogy of the relationship between the vine and the branches. I'm not going to go there now, but I think it's a great example of being mutually united with each other. Where Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. But the Holy Spirit is the life-giving sap. The Holy Spirit is the life-giving sap. So as believers, our role is to stay united to the vine. But we don't have to sort of say, oh, I want to stay connected to Jesus. I need to stay connected to... No, plug into that life-giving sap. The Holy Spirit empowers us, gives us the desire to want to spend time with Jesus, to participate with him, to remain with him, and allow that life-giving sap to flow in and through your lives. So the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives oikeos us. Remember from last week, do you remember that word? Oikeo. He dwells in us, but he also enoikeos. He influences us for good. This is good Greek lessons we're having lately, isn't it? That's three Greek words we've learned in 2 weeks. Oikeo, enoikeo, koinonia. I don't know if there's any more for today. Yes, there's another one coming. Okay, big test afterwards. Just kidding. But we're focusing on certain aspects of who the Holy Spirit, but under the banner of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So, first and foremost, he's our helper. John 14, verses 16 to 18. These are Jesus' words. And Jesus says this. Sorry, he says, I will pray the Father. I just think, wow, Jesus. Jesus is going to pray to the Father. Jesus prays to the Father. And he, the Father, will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Oh, I love that. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What beautiful scripture. Right from that last line, Jesus promises us he's not going to leave us as orphans. He will not leave us defenseless, helpless, or vulnerable. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us that way. He says, I'm going to send you another helper. In other words, one of the same kind. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send another one like me, the same as me. I'm the original, Jesus is saying. I'm the first helper, and I'm going to send you, after I've ascended, the Father's going to send you another helper of the same kind, of the same kind. So that word helper, fourth Greek word, you probably know it. Helper, parakletos. Parakletos, we've probably heard it before, means helper, comforter. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. This is who the Holy Spirit is. The word parakletos can break it down into two syllables. Para, meaning beside or next to, and kletos is invited. We invite the Holy Spirit to come, to walk, not only walk beside us, but to dwell in us. So when we need comfort, security, peace, assurance, we find these things in him. We find these things in the Holy Spirit. He's available to help us in every area of our lives. There's not one part of our lives that he's not available to help us. So I love the fact that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of us, enables us to rejoice in the midst of a trial. How is it possible? How is it possible that in the midst of a trial, we can rejoice? We can rejoice. Because, and even when we're persecuted, you know, people are mocking you because you're a born-again Christian. The Holy Spirit will give you ability to endure it. Listen to this in Romans 8:11. This is a fantastic scripture. They all are. It says this: if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Pause. Think about that. The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead. Do you know how powerful the Holy Spirit is to raise someone from the dead? That same Spirit lives in you. If you are a born-again child of God, that Spirit of God, this Holy Spirit, lives in you. Which poses a question. Do you really need that much power? The answer is yes. Yes. Jesus promised. He says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and greater is He who's in me than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. We do need resurrection power. We need resurrection power on a daily basis. We cannot live without it. In this world, you have trouble, we have trials, we have challenges, we have difficulties. We even have our stinking flesh. There we go, I said it. We've got our stinking flesh. How do we put to death the deeds of the body? By obeying the Holy Spirit, by submitting to the Holy Spirit. We're going to do things God's way. That's what it is. Do things God's way, not my way, not your way. We're not doing the Frank Sinatra way. We are putting to death the deeds of the body by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We're submitting to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to give us victory over sin, victory over difficulties, victory over trials. And we're going to do it God's way. There's only one way that works. That's God's way. I spent the first 32 years of my life doing life my way. Man, did I mess up. I made a big mess. I made a big mess. But thank you, Lord Jesus, for my salvation. And I've made mistakes since then, but they've become a bit more easily controlled in some ways. But you know what I'm saying? I messed up without the Lord. But since getting saved, I just want to do things God's way. It's just so much easier. Stop resisting. Just do it His way. Let Him have the way in your life. He will strengthen you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will always take you God's way. There's never an argument in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in total unity. Total unity. Do things God's way. So He's our helper, but He's also our guide. Listen to what John 16:13 says. However, when He, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth appears three times in three chapters in John's Gospel. When He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He's our guide. And I want to just focus I want to break this down. First of all, truth. Truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. God never needs to lie or exaggerate. Never. Never lies, never has any need to exaggerate. He speaks the truth. And he guides us into all truth. There's a saying nowadays, I guess it's a woke saying, you know, what's your truth? What's my truth? There's only one truth, and his name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Spirit of truth. We need not get into deception. We need not get into error. He is the Spirit of truth. Satan is the father of lies. He is the his native language is deception and lies. That's what the language that he speaks. It's the only one he knows. He lies. But if we stay in the Word, God's Word is truth. His Word is truth. You know what? If you go off one degree, if you're taking the Word of God and you say, well, I'm not so sure. Let me just sort of amend that slightly. You just go off one degree. I looked this up this morning on Google, so I know it's true. Okay. But there is this 1 in 60 principle that exists, that for every one degree off course, you will be 1 mile off course after traveling for 60 miles. So if you go for an hour's journey and you just start off one degree, just one degree off center from your journey, you will land up after 1 hour's travel, 1 mile off. That's how subtle deception is. It's subtle. And I tell you what, the Bible says that beware in the last days. Many will be deceived. Many will be deceived when they're thinking they're hearing from God and they're not. My brothers and my sisters, please be lovers of truth. Just love the truth. Stop trying to add it. Stop trying to manipulate it. Stop trying to even fully understand it. Just embrace the Word of God. Just fall in love with the Word of God. Just love the Word of God. It's complete. It needs no adding. It's perfect. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will guide us in God's ways. He's our guide. He's our, what point am I on? He's our guide. I don't know if you're aware, we're in a jungle. It's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. And a guide is vitally important. I think to myself, if I had to go out into this world without the Holy Spirit, man, I'd fall apart. I think I'd fall apart. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide us in our decision-making and in the daily things that we face. I'm not saying, you know, like, Lord, what color socks should I wear? Okay, that's a bit crazy, okay? Just you decide what color socks you're going to wear. But, sometimes we have some issues that aren't addressed directly in the Word of God. There's not a specific detail, like what town should I go live in? There's no specifics. But we've got to learn to discern the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the leading and the guidance, especially when it's something non-word specific, like what town should I live in? Follow the leading. You know, we've been in a situation over the years when we were leaving Wales. We left Wales. We came to England. Sorry, shouldn't have said that. But anyway, we left Wales after 10 years. And we knew we wanted to come to England. Chris had a job offer in Ireland. It's like going the wrong way. England is this way. Ireland's that way. We're in Wales. Chris turned down a job. The only job offer he had in Ireland during the housing crash in 2008. And we moved back into the promised land, back into England. We knew God had told us England. He didn't say Wales. He didn't say Scotland. He said England. So we like, okay, so where do we go? England is a big place, actually. Where do we go? So we had to take one step at a time. Lord, you said that you would lead us. You said you'd guide us. You said you'd provide for us. Where's their provision? So we moved from Wales, we moved to Essex. We stayed in Essex for 3 years. We knew when the time was up, we need to get out of here. Wasn't good for us. We need to get out of Essex. What's our first priority? Church. We need to get where there's a good church. Where's there a good church? Kent, Surrey, somewhere in the southeast. There's got to be a good church. We moved to Kent. I Googled. I kid not. We Googled Christian South African Christian churches in Kent. It turned out in the next village, like a mile away, there was a church, and which we joined, and we stayed there until God moved us down to Hampshire. So there wasn't like a clear-cut word, this is what you do. But we kept on, Lord, keep seeking him. Just keep seeking him when it's something specific in your life. Just keep seeking him. There's a whole message that's brewing, but about being led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot just take one thing in isolation. Things need to be measured. We need to have the word. We need to be led. We need to have a prophetic word. When we left South Africa, there were good reasons for us to leave South Africa. We'd been burgled 8 times. My daughter was almost at risk of being injured in a horrible way in our home. And there were lots of good reasons to leave. But we sought the Lord. We sought God. And so what did we do? Lord, we came out on a look and see trip. We call it our LSD trip, our look, see, and decide trip. Can we live here? Could we live here? I mean, I was born here, but I wasn't sure that I could live here because the culture is very different. But we came on a look, see, and decide. And was there provision? Chris had a job offer. There was provision. Was there a prophetic word? We had a number of prophetic words. We went to our pastors. We sought counsel. The multitude of counselors, there's much safety. We sought counsel from our pastors. We had peace. We believed this was the right thing to do. And then we took the step. And we said, any time there's a red light, we're stopping. We were open. Any time, there was not one red light. There were just green lights all the way. And the rest is history. So leading of the Holy Spirit, our hearts need to be mutually linked to him as he leads us and guides us into God's plans and purposes. You know what? God has a plan and a purpose for every single person here today. It might not be ministry, but maybe God's got you in politics. Maybe he's got you in finance. Maybe he's got you in delivering babies. I can never remember the word. What's it called? Safeguarding. What's it called? Midwifery. Yeah, that's it. Midwifery. Maybe he's got you in midwifery. Maybe he's got you in school. But wherever God has you at this stage in your life, just seek him. What is the purpose in it? Is there purpose in it? What does God want to do through you in your workplace? You know, maybe God wants to use you to preach the gospel or to share your faith with people, to get people saved. So, the leading. Listen to this in Romans 8:14. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." They're not the children of God. They're sons of God. The Greek word, another one, huios. Huios means mature sons. Sons that are led, influenced by the Holy Spirit, are led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by law. We're not led by diktat. We're led by the Spirit of God. Okay. Peace. Now, peace is a big one. And I struggled a bit to get it into my words, but because peace, when the Holy Spirit leads you, he leads you in peace. Isaiah 55, verse 12 says this, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." And Colossians 3:15, it's not coming up on the screen, but Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In fact, the Amplified says, as an umpire. Let the peace of God be the deciding factor. But the problem comes with peace. The problem comes with peace is this God's peace or is it my peace? Is it my peace? I have peace about buying a lottery ticket. God says, don't gamble. So it's not of God. You know, I'm just using a silly example. But I think we've got to be aware when it comes to the peace of God, that it's the peace of God, not the peace of self. And I can just think of, you know, Psalm 37 that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That as we delight ourselves, as we are mutually linked with God through the Holy Spirit, as we delight ourselves in him, we will automatically desire the things that God wants. He will give us, he will place his desires in us. So when it comes to the peace of God, make sure you're walking in integrity to the word of God. Is that okay? Walk in integrity to the word of God. When it comes to a relationship with an unbeliever, the Bible says, do not become unequally yoked. Clear. Walk in the integrity of your knowledge of that word. This is truth. Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Don't ignore the promptings. Don't ignore the warning signs. Don't ignore your pastor. It happens. It happens so often. It's sad. Pastor, my boyfriend and I are going to live together. We're going to move. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. They do it. What can I do? I can't do anything about it. But unfortunately, there is a result. There's an outworking from it. So let's make sure that we're walking in the integrity of the word of God, that we know that we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. And as we delight ourselves in him, he will place his desires in us. Is this okay? Right. Teacher. Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14, verse 25 to 26. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you things and bring to your remembrance all things that I say to you, that I've said to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, just yesterday, I've had a bit of a bad week. Okay, can I just be honest? Had a bit of a bad week. There you go. Said it. I had a bad week. And there was just something really niggling me. Really niggling me. It wasn't very pleasant. And it made me really like, I was quite miffed. I was really struggling this week. And yesterday, I walked into the kitchen. The Lord speaks to me a lot in the kitchen and in the shower. Those two places, like when I least expect it, he speaks to me. And he just dropped a word in my heart. I just stood in the kitchen. I just raised my hands. Lord, you're so good. That word just brought freedom. That word just brought liberty. That's the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance things that he's already said to me. That word was already in me, but he brought it to my remembrance. I was like, oh, woe is me. I'm feeling like this. I'm feeling like that. But suddenly, the Holy Spirit just spoke into my heart. I was like, oh, Lord, I love you so much. Thank you. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. He's our teacher. You know what? When you look at the Bible and you see these words of black ink written on this very flimsy paper. You see it and you think, and sometimes you can just read it and it'll just be black ink on white paper. Makes no difference. But you know what happens when you sit with that word and you say, Holy Spirit, breathe on this word. Then the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the Holy Spirit, breathes his life into this word. And then when you're sitting there, like, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me? The Holy Spirit suddenly takes these words off that black ink off the page, and wham, it hits your heart. It hits your heart. Listen to what it says this in 2 Corinthians 3:3. It says, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, not on pieces of white paper, but on tablets of flesh, that is the heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, you can sit and you can meditate on a word, you can think about the word. Months later, this word comes, just like, bing, Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. Remember this. Just remember this word brings life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. So we can experience the indwelling Holy Spirit, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit when we need wisdom. When we need wisdom, He is our wisdom. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So if we are lacking wisdom in any area of our lives beyond what we are currently experiencing, we can ask the Holy Spirit. And He can reveal God's thoughts and ways to us. Isaiah 55 says, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens above are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And I don't believe that God is saying this to be condemning us, but it's an invitation. Come up higher. Come up higher. My ways are not your ways, but come up higher. Isaiah 11 verse 1, speaking of Jesus, he says, there shall come forth a rod, capital R, from the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. He's talking about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. This is who the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit of wisdom. You know, you can be faced with all kinds of situations, not know the way out. I don't know the way forward. I've got all the information I can possibly have to make a decision, but I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, you are my wisdom. He is the Spirit of wisdom. We can ask Him. He's the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. So I'm going to end where we started. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the koinonia, that heart mutually linked to the Holy Spirit, be with you all in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit who guides us and leads us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us, guide us, direct us, that you are the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you afresh in our hearts today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, breathe your breath, the Ruach of God. The breath of God, breathe your life into our hearts afresh today. We receive it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord.